the credentials come from, the way we divide it out to explain it is, credentials come from outside organizations. So the International Coach Federation is a credentialing body. The Board Certified Coach, which is a fairly new credential in the coaching field, is primarily for people with graduate degrees. And that comes out of the Center for Credentialing and Education. And those all have very different requirements, which we're not going to get into unless you guys have questions. The certifications that ILCT offers came about. The first one was a certified life coach. And we as we've expanded it, and today Nancy Branton is joining us to discuss the new career development coaching specialist credential, we have found that our students really wanted to specialize in certain areas for their practice. So we have six different ones. The original one is the certified life coach. We have added to that the business coaching specialist certification, the wellness coaching specialist certification, relationship coaching specialist certification, this new career development coaching specialist certification, and a Christian coaching specialist certification. Each one of these class, these certifications begins with our 40-hour foundations class. And that class is really designed to give you all the pieces you need to go out and to be a successful and competent coach. It does ethics. It does all the coaching skills. How do you write a contract? How do you use basic coaching assessments? If you want to specialize in any of the areas we just discussed, you would then take 40 hours of electives in that area. And we give, with the exception of the certified life coach credential, you have a choice of a wide variety of different electives that you can take. And we can go through them. The relationship coaching specialist has a requirement of, aside from the foundations, and I'm going to send you guys a table when we're done because it'll make it easier, requires an introductory course, as does this career development specialist. Other than that, the courses are really for you to decide what you need. So there are marketing classes. There's ethics classes. There are different versions in the wellness area, whether you want to do body-mind or whether you want to focus on, like, the wellness inventory. And I work directly with you to sort of figure out, okay, what classes do you need given your vision of what you want to do and your past experience and everything? As someone asked earlier, the majority of these are about, the cost is about $4,400, worst case scenario. And that includes all of the stuff. There is no examinations cost. There's no hidden cost other than there may be books or manuals, all of which we show for each class, so that as you're working forward on your certification, you sort of know what to expect. And as we said earlier, there are payment plans that are available for students, and you can do it individually by classes, how we do them usually. That once you are certified, once you've completed the 80 hours of training, you are given a certification. You are able to use the title. So if you're a relationship coaching specialist, like on your business card, you'd be an RCS, and you could say that you're a certified relationship coaching specialist. The other benefit is you also get listed on our website as part of the referral. And so people who are looking for relationship coaches would be able to find you. So that's the overall part of what they're like, and how they run. And there is no time frame. You don't have to be done in a year. You don't have to be done in 5 years. I happen to be on an 8-year plan for mine. So it really is what you need to build your practice. And some people do it slowly. And some people want to be done very quickly. And conceivably, if you had a great deal of time, you would be able to be done in 5 months if you took your foundations and the electives at the same time. So that's a very basic overview. And since we are now introducing the career one, Nancy, do you want to talk a little bit about what career development coaching is? Nancy?
I must have been muted. So before I start on that, I'm just wondering for the one individual who's already a PCC who may not have taken courses through you, do you have any kind of thing where you can opt out of that if they already, you know, out of the 40-hour foundation if they already have the PCC?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Whether they can get the certification, we can transfer in under the ICF a certain number of hours.
Sure.
But we certainly could work with them on that. And certainly because all of our classes are also approved by the ICF for CCEs or continuing education, they can take them.
Okay. All right. So some of you that are, I know not all of you here today are interested in the career development specialization, but I know that some of you are. And I'm not sure how many of you have done some of that already or not, but I thought I would just share a little bit about what it is, because there are lots of different kinds of topics and roles and jobs in this area. And I thought I'd start by just saying a little bit about myself so you can see some of the roles of career development that I'm involved in. So my background before I started my own business was 30 years inside organizations where I did career development coaching. And I also, my volunteer work was I founded and led a career transition group at our church. Currently, I'm an adjunct faculty at Adler Graduate School in their career development program, so I'm into instructing. I coach MBA students at Bethel University, which is both career and leadership coaching. I'm an outplacement coach at Career Curve and was formerly an outplacement coach with CareerBuilder.com. And I'm an independent career coach now, and I also speak on career-related topics. So you can see, if you're an independent, this whole thing about multiple income streams and the challenge is that there are so many things out there that I have to just kind of keep a handle on it because there's so much demand. There's so much out there that one can do. It can get kind of overwhelming. So I've had kind of the opportunity to do the full spectrum of things in the career area. And I prepared a handout that explains some of these. So don't feel like you have to jot all these down, but just trying to give you an idea of different things. So in terms of career roles and jobs, I mentioned independent career coach. Also, there are people that work in higher ed who are involved in career services, and typically that requires a master's degree. Career coach at an outplacement firm, a lot of people do that as a contractor like I do. There are some full-time jobs like that as well. There are workforce centers. They're called, you know, the words used for that vary from state to state, but they typically are the ones that are working with people who are unemployed, and it's a government service. So they're heavy into job search, but they may also have career transition people. Corporate career coach is gaining popularity again. A lot of those people had kind of been downsized during, you know, the early 2000s, but now I'm starting to see a new pattern of having internal corporate career coach, as well as some externals as a contractor. There's this military to civilian career transition coach, and people might work there as full-time people or possibly contractors. Another thing that is gaining more popularity is coaches for students in higher ed. And through CareerBuilder.com, I was working with a particular online university. And so they use that as a way to kind of sort of like an added value of that particular school. And then you can also be a career development trainer or instructor. And there are probably things I've forgotten about. Anybody who would like to add to that list, career roles and jobs. Okay, and then different coaching topics. And again, I'm going to send this out to you, but it just shows some of the different things that you can be involved in. And as you listen to some of these, it helps you, if you're an independent coach, think about, well, what kind of population do I want to work with? What subject matter do I want to work with? And so I have found that independent career coaches have very different specializations. You kind of figure out what areas you enjoy the most. So for me, the sweet spot is a career transitioner. One of the people that's going to be teaching a new course, a job search, one loves helping people move forward in their job hunt. So everybody does, you know, enjoys different things. Now, I do all of these, but I still have sort of that sweet spot. So as you listen to some of these, think about, you know, what you might enjoy. So you might work with people in terms of developing a career college major. Oftentimes parents pay for this. I've had that, and they want to make sure before they decide on what college, they have some idea of a major or general area, and they that will then influence their decision about what college potentially to go to. It also is for adults who are returning to school, and that's also a common area as well. I talked about how I love to work on career transition or change. In organizations, a lot of them have high potential programs, so they identify the high potentials. They do leadership development, but a lot of those are also including a career component. Talked a little bit about outplacement. There's a number of places you can do that through the government career services. You could do it through formal outplacement firms, or you could do that as part of a college role, career role, or as an independent coach. Education planning can be a role at a university. It can also be, as you could combine that with determining a college major. Talked a little bit about just the whole area of job search. And even within that, some people will specialize in certain areas, but that would include things like interviewing, salary negotiation, successful, it may or may not, but then there's the whole area of onboarding. Some companies hire external people to help ensure that they successfully launch their new role. There might be externals that are working on that as well as a continuation after they've helped them with job search. Career advancement, that's a big one. People want to advance, and sometimes they struggle with that area. Now, when people come to you, they're usually, as an independent, there's usually some area of pain, and then you're addressing that. Return to work. So moms or dads that have stayed home with kids, there are challenges associated with that. Network. How do you network effectively online, face-to-face? Technology is a large piece of that. Personal branding. Some of you may have heard of that, but there's an assessment that goes along with that. And there, if you can help them describe who they are, employers interview people because what they've done, and they hire them because of who they are. Doing career research. How do you find out about different jobs? People say, I don't know, even know what's out there. Dealing with job loss and moving forward, that has a lot to do with the course, the introduction to career coaching that Jim teaches. And there's some trauma that's sometimes associated with that. There's wonderful visualization, audio, and book by Dr. Lynn Joseph, and he also talks in his course about goal setting and helping people move forward. It can be unemployed people, as usually it's unemployed people. Career resilience, that's becoming more and more of a topic with this 24/7 availability, just stress of getting, you know, the job duties increasing, and nothing goes away. They add, but they don't take anything away. Social emotional intelligence is a very big topic. And as part of that, also, how do you effectively manage conflict? But a lot of what trips people up, so people get hired because of the, you know, what the sense of who they are, but it's also what they've done. They get fired because of who they are. So that's the importance of social emotional intelligence and conflict management. Non-traditional roles for women. Joan Runheim Olson, who's teaching the job search course, she specializes in that, and she leads seminars around the country at colleges in that area. So that's a large part of her role. It's also, there's more and more of a trend of people, instead of just retiring cold turkey, they decide that they want to work part-time, and maybe it's going to be their legacy. May not, you know, their job may not have been ideal for them, but they're more concerned at that stage in their life of, you know, leaving a legacy or passing on some of what they've learned to others. And then there are assessments, lots of assessments throughout these classes, and it's something I have a passion for and I found are very helpful for people. But it's also, so what are you going to do in retirement? And that's where interest inventories and other things can be very helpful as well. So that's just a really quick rundown. There's probably more things that I haven't really specifically talked about. There are four classes that are specifically career related. Now you can take, you need to take at least 20 hours career specific courses. So you wouldn't have to take all of these. And then you can decide what to do with your others, some of the other hours. Some of them could be these, some of them could be others. But the four are the Introduction to Career Coaching with Jim, Career Assessment Coaching with me, which you learn about lots of assessments. And I know there was a question about, do you get trained for these? All of the ones that I use are ones that you either already have access to, your qualifications may allow you to already access some others, but I've made it very affordable for a few that are interested, for example, in a personality test, a real solid one, and I give you a discount because I can get it for $299 instead of $399. But most of these are ones, and I also will give you some webinar-based access to webinar-based training on a number of these as well. The career development coaching, a 20-hour that I teach, and the job search coaching, 20 hours that Joan Runheim Olson teaches. So I'd love to entertain any questions that you have about this.
Well, and if I could just step in, a lot of what Nancy said is true for all of the different specializations that we have. People who are in the wellness track, some of them are running their own yoga practices, or they're working in hospitals with people who have cancer or diabetes. So we really, especially starting the foundations class, work with you to figure out what are you passionate about. If coaching is all about helping people to build more fulfilling lives, it really begins with you as the coach being able to tailor make your practice so that it's something that reflects your interests and your passions. And there are a wide variety, with the exception of mental health issues. Coach, I have yet to come up with a population that will not be benefited by being able to be coached, because it is really about focusing on people's strengths and helping them to define where they want to go in life and helping them to set goals to get there. So it really is your opportunity to to create something, and that's why we offer a wide variety of classes so that you really can get the tools and the learning that you need to create a fantastic coaching profession. We have a number of questions. Amy, do you want to open up the lines and see if anyone has questions now, or we can do some of the questions that people also sent in?
Okay. This is Patricia. I was just wondering if there is any way that we're going to be able to get written material on this information that's being discussed, you know, maybe through email, or if we would have an opportunity to speak with somebody privately.
Absolutely, both. The opportunity, you will receive a recording of this call along with the handouts that Nancy was talking about, as well as a table from me, because all these specializations get crazy to figure out. And I'm available anytime. I'm the dean of students and work directly with all of our students all the way through the program. Mm-hmm. And I will put my contact information on the email that we send out, but I'd love to talk to you about it privately.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
Hi, this is Nicole Cochran from Dallas.
Hi.
And, hi, quick question. And maybe for Nancy, because it sounds like you've got a lot of experience in this. One of my thought processes for an area of focus is around students, high school students, college students. Do you find that universities see you, if you're an independent consultant, they see you as a threat to their career services, or oftentimes they're able to refer people to you?
Well, most educational, you know, higher ed have people internally, and it varies in high school. Some have really full-blown career programs helping people make some of those choices, and others do, you know, very little in that area. I don't think it's really like a threat, because people will seek out an independent sort of directly, not necessarily along the school, although you certainly could try to create some kind of partnership, especially with schools that don't offer a lot of career services.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I didn't think it was a big profit center for them. It seems like more of an added value resource to their students.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
Anyone else have any questions?
This is Elizabeth Cole in Kentucky, and our local, you know, state, people call it the unemployment office, but it's called Kentucky Career Center. They have career coaches. They have prioritized the GCDF credential, Global Career Development Facilitator.
Yep.
But that might be an employment opportunity for coaches, too, you know, if they recognize other credentials to the unemployment office, because they do a lot of groups and teaching and coaching for job search skills.
And, yes. I know Dave had questions about the relationship coaching specialist credential. And there's an example of just where, unlike therapy, which really works if you're a marriage and family therapist, you know, works on healing problems. Coaching in relationship coaching is all about helping people to create better relationships. And the way our program is designed, it's not just marriage, but the introduction class really focuses on all relationships. It's relationships with your coworkers, or the team you're on, or your children, or your neighbors, or your spouse or partner. And you really can then focus in on different pieces. There are relationships on cyberspace. We have a class in that for people who are working with people online. And we have students who are doing marriage coaching within churches, people who are using it within inner city school districts. So there are, you know, again, there's just so many different ways you can use coaching to specialize on it.
This is Debbie from Arizona. How would that, can you just explain a little bit more about the differences of that versus therapy?
Yeah, I have a background as a marriage and family therapist. And a lot of the work that we did was more when couples were really struggling or about to break apart, or families are dysfunctional and struggling. While if there are past issues, coaches do not work on issues from the past, so we don't heal. And that's sort of the distinction between the helping professions like counseling, coaching, and counseling, therapy, and social work. They're really healing issues from the past. Coaching focuses on where a person is now and where they want to go. So a family that is struggling with alcoholism and stuff would probably go to a family therapist first, but coming to you could come to you afterwards to say, okay, we've sort of gotten that issue behind us and we really want to move forward and make our family better. We want to be more cohesive. We want to enhance our communication skills.
Okay. I had another question too. The certified life coach specialty, how does that, I'm just trying to get a better idea of how that differs from these other specialties. Does it ever make sense to do certified life coach specialty first and then possibly add another specialty path in addition to that?
It can, yes. And we do have some people who do that. It's our original one, and it's actually a portion of the accredited coach training program that we offer, which leads to ICF credentialing. The first two classes, the foundations class and the ICF core competency class, those fit into all of the different specializations as possibilities. And then there's one other extra class that you have to take to be a certified life coach. So there is a lot of crossover between the classes. And it's just what, you know, a lot of it becomes a personal decision of what do I want to sort of be able to go out to the world and say, am I a certified life coach? We are a school that focuses on life coaching and then specializing. So you have the life coaching skills because that's the foundations class. But if you wanted to, let's say, go into career, you know, you and I would figure out, okay, should you take these and do both or just do one and what works best for you?
Okay. So I guess my confusion a little bit was on that certified life coach, what would be the specialty portion of that pathway? Because it sounds like it's more of a generalist
It's point. Definitely a generalist. But there are some people who come into our program who really just want to do life coaching and to really move their skills to a very high level without getting, like, assessment tools and stuff. It really is entirely skills-based, so learning the different core competencies and not adding in other pieces. It's probably, at this point in time, the least popular, although lots of people get it because they're also going for ICF credentialing.
Right.
But I think, as Nancy pointed out, and many people are looking towards a specialization because they're hoping to work with outside organizations and stuff, and going in and saying, I'm a business, you know, coaching specialist, might have more kind of impact.
Okay. Thank you.
Excuse me. So this is Dave. A couple questions on the relationship specialty. One is, with those 40-hour electives or 40 hours of electives, I didn't get a chance to look. Are the electives an hour each, or are they, you know, something more than that?
No, they're more than that. We don't actually have any hour classes. So in the relationship one, the majority of the relationship classes are 12 hours each.
Oh, 12 hours, okay.
So they'll meet for 12 weeks for a one-hour period.
Got it.
Then there are a few others that are like ethics, or there's a great class called the Basics of Business Coaching. Those are like 5 or 8 hours that you can add in along with the relationship classes if you want.
Okay. And what's the cost typically then of that 40-hour package?
Worst case scenario, $2,000.
Okay.
But, you know, as you know, there are often discounts that are available. And again, we have payment plans so people can spread it out over months if they want.
Okay. And I guess it probably is best for each individual situation just to give you a call and kind of plot things out. And
yeah, I'd love that.
Okay, great. Okay, thank you very much.
Absolutely, Dave. Does anyone else have any other questions?
You know, I have a question. If you wanted to do the 30-hour course, which is, I think, for those with the graduate degree.
Yes.
Would you then add this other certification afterwards?
Yes, you can. And what I advise a lot of, and just so everyone else knows, the 30-hour is for the board-certified coach. The 30-hour program is for those who have a master's in counseling or a PhD. There's also a 60-hour program for those who have master's degrees in other special other areas of social and behavioral sciences. A lot of people do the 30 hours, go in and take the national exam for the BCC, and because there are CEUs that are required to maintain your BCC, they pursue specialization afterwards. So then the hours count for both. And all of those hours also count towards CEUs for counselors or therapists through the National Board of Certified Counselors.
Okay. I had another quick question. This is Debbie again. About how much time, regardless of the specialty area that you would choose, it will begin with that 40-hour foundational if we haven't had that, correct?
Correct.
And then
although
about
there are some, like in the wellness area, if you were going into wellness and you wanted to take the foundations class that starts in February, there are the introductory level classes, introduction to career coaching, relationship coaching, and like the body mind tools. You can enroll in those before you start your foundations class. Others require that you either be halfway done or all the way done your foundations class.
Okay.
So each
Yeah, actually, that wellness was actually what I was looking at. So then about how much time in the week besides the two course webinar or classes, online classes, do we need to allow for homework and that sort of thing to build into our life?
In the foundations class, we usually say it's about 4 to 5 hours because in the foundations class, you have the 2 one-hour periods you're in a class. You're in a peer group. At a time that's mutually convenient, and you guys are doing case studies and stuff like that, and there's probably about an hour or so of reading. And homework, other than short readings, will be something like using open-ended questions, which are questions that can't be answered yes or no. Sit down during a meal with your family and just use open-ended questions and reflect back on how that's different than normal conversation. Mm. So some of it's very experiential.
Mm-hmm.
So that's about 4 hours a week. And for most of the electives, which usually meet for about an hour a week, and each one has different schedules, but you're probably looking at about an hour of reading along with each class. Some more, okay. Some less.
Okay. And so that 4 to 5 hours includes those 2 one-hour sessions?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. Okay. Very doable then with a full-time job.
Yeah,
great.
Very doable. And the thing you want to make sure is that all of the classes fit in your schedule. Due to the requirements of the school and the International Coach Federation, you can only miss X number of classes.
Right.
So for, like, the foundations, you can miss 5. Granted, if there's a family catastrophe, Hurricane Sandy comes through again, you know, we will work with you to sort of make that up. But in general, you want to find ones that really fit into your own schedule. And
right.
We rotate the classes. So even like introduction relationship, if it's morning one quarter, it'll be the evening or afternoon. So we move classes around so that we can educate everybody and find times that work.
Great. And those are all on the website I'm seeing, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Great. Thank you.
Absolutely.
So this is Gary. I have a question.
Okay.
You mentioned earlier on that the credentials come from outside and some come from ICF and some come from board-certified coach. And so I guess the institute gears its certification towards the BCC?
Both, the ICF and the BCC. We've been ICF approved since, I think, 2002. We have numerous students who go in through the ICF. The board certified coach is fairly new. We're this first school that was approved to teach it. And so we have students pursuing numerous different paths.
So I'm just a little confused as to what the difference is between the two of them. Or can you characterize a little bit what the advantages and disadvantages of them are? And someone said also that the U.S. government only recognizes ICF. Is that true?
That is not true anymore. And actually, we've trained numerous people in the U.S. government to become BCCs in the State Department, the Justice Department, and they have recently also acknowledged the BCC. The BCC is growing fairly quickly, and partly because it's coming out of the same organization that does the licensing exams for counselors in all 50 states. So it already has a rapport, so to speak, with the different government agencies. The difference is the BCC is really, while there is one for people with a bachelor's degree, it's the same length as an ICF one, but the 30 and 60-hour program, it's the first time credits given for graduate work because there's so much crossover in terms of credentialing.
Nicole never came and got the key to get to, no, I have the, she asked me about the tablecloth.
let's see. Both of them require experience as well as coach training. The BCC, or how they count when the experience was and what stands for experience is different between each organization. But always in credentialing, you are looking at coaching plus experience. And I think both are very good credentials. And the ICF has three, the ACC, which is 60 hours, the PCC, which is 130 hours of training, and the MCC, which is an incredibly big number. I forget what it is. And you sort of slowly work towards those because they have different experience thresholds.
Great. That's very helpful. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Hi, this is Frank, and I have a couple of follow-up questions on the credentials.
Great.
So, first question is, have you, in your experience, do you think that if I wanted to develop a private practice, that having these credentials are as important as if I'm going to get an official job?
It's a good question. I've been coaching for 8 years, and I've yet to have a client ask about credentialing because I think a lot of the part of coaching is the rapport that you build with your clients.
Mm-hmm.
But certainly being able to show that you are trained and perhaps especially, you know, let's use career, that you really do specialize in this, it means you have more tools to offer your clients.
Uh-huh.
And so that can make your practice richer. But is it required? I personally don't think it is, unless you're going to an outside organization.
Yeah, and I'm guessing when your clients are looking for coaches, these credentials and the letters after a person's name is not as important, correct?
It probably depends on the client, but yeah.
Uh-huh.
But as you're projecting yourself out into the world, And certainly if you're doing private practice, then how to market your practice and to market yourself becomes important. And so while there are no states right now that require that anybody have any training as a coach in order to practice as a coach so you can hang up your shingle tomorrow, I think that is going to be changing. And consumers are getting more savvy about the fact that, gee, you know, maybe we should look for somebody who's had some training. And the ICF, the International Coach Federation, recently did a study which showed that like 89% of the people who are now hiring coaches who participated in their survey are actually looking for somebody who's got training or credentials.
Okay, great. And my second question is, I just wanted to make sure, is the foundations course geared towards people with a master's degree?
It can be. It's not exclusively. I mean, if you're in there, you'll have people with master's degree, but we do not require that you hold a master's degree at all, either a bachelor's degree or experience or passion working with people. It really is what we're looking for is people who want to work, students who want to work with others and who have pretty good communication skills.
Okay. Yeah, that's pretty much what I was asking. I have a bachelor's degree, and I wanted to see if that was the right one for me.
Yep, that would be the right one.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
This is Elizabeth Cole. Do you have any idea when the next Coaching from the Inside Out course is going to be offered?
No, but I'm going to pull – Liz, I will pull your records and get back to you. Because
okay.
I know you have a ton of classes completed.
Yeah.
So we may be able to – move them around.
Okay.
So I'll go pull your records after the call and get back to you.
Right.
Hey, Ellen, this is Nicole Cochran again. So if we are looking at doing something like the specialties path and taking, you know, the career development one, for instance, that would also, I mean, all those educational units we've taken would then probably qualify us to go ahead and take the ICF, test or
yep.
whatever to get the ACC accreditation, right?
Absolutely, yeah. Because we're approved by both the ICF and the Center for Credentialing and Education, all the credits you get go towards all of either or both of those credentials.
Gotcha. Okay. And I just want to just throw out there to everybody that's on the phone, I'm currently in the Foundations class through ILCT, and I have to tell you, it's fantastic. It has been such a great experience. You learn so much of the fundamentals of how to be a coach. They teach you things around how to run a business as a coach. The instructors have been great, and it's just, it has given me tons of confidence in how to become a coach. So I just want to throw out my little thing there to tell you guys what a great thing it is.
Thank you. That's great. I'm so glad you're enjoying it.
This is Daphne Berman, and I echo what Nicole said. I'm in the Foundations class as well, and I think it's phenomenal. Definitely take it.
Thank you. Thank you.
Here.
This is Elizabeth Cole. I have another question. I'm a board-certified coach, and I was just looking at their website, and, like, ILCT is listed as an approved training, you know, for your initial application, but they're not listed under the continuing education providers to maintain it, which I assumed they would be because of everything that they offer. So,
of our credits account. I think it's more a matter of their getting
their
website organized.
It's not on, you're not listed on their website as a continuing ed provider, so you might want to follow up with them if it was their oversight.
Yes, actually, I have a few times.
Okay, thank you.
Slowly but surely. Yep. Anyone else have any questions? One of the questions that someone sent in was issues if you are a licensed therapist, and do you have to be careful when you are coaching, especially if you're doing career coaching? We actually have classes and calls on this because there are some issues as a licensed professional of really keeping your practices distinctly different. And there are differences in terms of requirements. As a therapist, you are working within your own state. As a coach, you are not. So to that question, you know, there are lots of different resources on how to do it. And because most of our instructors are dual credentialed, so they're running coaching practices as well as either social work or therapy and stuff, that's a topic of conversation for many people. Staying ethically, you are under different codes of ethics when you are in the when you're a student at ILCT, when you're out practicing in the ICF Code of Ethics. And so we really work on so that you understand. We're actually one of the few schools that really focus in on making sure that your practice is ethical and protects you as well as your clients.
Okay. This is Elizabeth Cole. I had another question that occurred to me. If you've gone through the plain vanilla training and then you're interested in the Christian coaching specialist, do you have to back up and take the Christian Foundations class?
No.
Okay.
Nope. Either work, and so does your coach approach.
Okay. So just as long as you have enough of the Christian electives, then that would work.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. And that's a great program. It's actually the first, our Christian coach training program is the first one that was ever approved by the ICF. And we've probably had more than 1,000 people who've gone through that program. It's a very amazing program.
I actually have another question about that as well. On the Christian coaching specialist, how does that foundational course for Christian coaches differ from the regular foundation? Is there a lot of crossover information?
Significant crossover. The manual you use, the book you use, the lessons, the way they're set up for the 40 lessons are absolutely identical materials. The Christian Foundations class begins and ends in prayer, usually, and it ties it a little bit more into the scriptures.
Okay.
And the teachings, whereas the, for want of a better word, the secular class, coaching always deals with spirituality because people are spiritual beings.
Right.
But it's not as distinctly defined. So in the Foundations class, while you may deal with spirituality, in the Christian one, it is really working with people from a Christian perspective.
Okay. So what I'm hearing you say is that the foundational class for Christian coaches is not going to, I would not be missing core foundational information from the secular course.
Not at all, no.
Okay.
Exactly the same.
Okay, great.
Yeah. It's really more of a worldview than anything else. Yeah.
Got it.
Hi, this is Molly Ward.
Hey, Molly.
I have a question about the ICF's Associate Certified Coach, the ACC. Where does one find information about what is required for that?
I'll put it in the table. You can also find it on the website under Credentialing Path. That requires that you complete the 80-hour Foundations class. 40-hour Foundations class. We recommend taking ICF core competency, but you don't have to. So you're going to get 60 hours, so 20 hours of electives, included, and then the foundations class. It requires 100 hours of coaching experience before you can apply, as well as 10 hours of mentor coaching. We have a mentor coaching class. They're very specific on who can teach it and what the mentoring is about. But when you have completed the 100 hours of experience, the 60 hours of coach training, and the mentor coaching, you would then go in and apply at the ICF. And the application is you submit a short recording of one of your coaching calls. And as of April of next year, you will also take a written exam.
Okay, thank you.
Ellen?
Yes.
It's Michelle Dorn on the call.
Hey.
Hi. I just wanted to say I'm in the mentor coaching class right now. I like it a lot. I'm getting a ton out of it. And the reason why, one of the reasons why I took it was because I wanted to go for the ICF credential. I already had the BCC. And I'm thinking on actually letting my LMHC counseling license lapse this time around.
Okay.
I found out I have up to 5 years before I'd have to take an exam again and go through all that. So it's not as horrible as I thought it would be if I let it last. I just have to keep up at CEU. So it's not as horrifying. I did go to the ICF website and was definitely overwhelmed by all the information there. So I would definitely advise people to, I wish I did this earlier is what I'm saying. If you think you might want to be credentialed through ICF, go and really scour their website. I find that it's harder to become an ICF certified ACC coach than it was for me to get my counseling license. There is actually more requirements
I was surprised. and the cost is a lot more than it was for me to get my license in counseling as well. So right now I'm going to sort of slow my speed to get that credential, as I've done a lot of investigating, and you had mentioned earlier that it's good to have it, but you don't have to have it necessarily right away.
Right.
And I think it's good to start coaching, because what I've done is taking lots and lots of classes and haven't really been coaching. And so I think sometimes people can get stuck in that. I need to get credentials. I need to take all these classes first before they start coaching. And you can actually do them simultaneously. I have a lot of students in my classes that are already certified, and they're still taking classes. And then when you're certified, you need to still take your CEUs. And so it's great. I just keep taking more. I was looking earlier today, what class do I want to take next? I really like them. So, so I enjoy the two, but I am going to actually start coaching very soon. So.
Good. And we really do encourage that. I think that's a great point, Michelle, is that you can take lots of classes, and they're great classes. It's nice to hear that the students like them. But the other thing is really doing it. Coaching is just not the liability of when you're a counselor, because you're not responsible. The client is the expert in their lives. You're helping them to define where they want to go, where their gaps are and stuff. And you can take 1,000, read 1,000 books on how to golf. You get much better at when you get out on a golf club or a golf course and swing your club. Same with coaching. You know, we really, by the time people are out of the foundations class, so they've been coaching their peers, they've been coaching in class, we really encourage you to go out and start, you know, finding people that you want to work with, because that's a really great way to build a practice and to get your confidence up. It's also one of the ways, if you're getting credentialed, you need to have experience hours. So we really work on encouraging students to get out there and coach. So good
right.
point, Michelle.
I also want to highly, highly recommend the ethics class with Tina Elliott. It's fantastic.
Great, yeah. Ethics is a good area to at least be aware of. Does anyone else have any other questions?
Well, yes.
Yeah.
This is Al.
Hey, Al.
Yeah, this is Alvin from Atlanta.
Yep.
Hello.
Hi.
I just wanted to go back to the credentialing piece. I want to get clear on that of, you know, the different bodies. Because, once you go on the Internet, it's very confusing as to what body is in fact, you know, I guess has the most credibility or validity. So I'm not really clear on that.
It's a great question. It's probably a hard one to answer. The International Coach Federation has been around a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I think since 2002, 2001. So up until now, it has been probably the go-to credential
mm-hmm.
for people who wanted to be credentialed by an organization. The board certified coach one, which is the Center for Credentialing and Education, was set up in part in response to some of the concerns people had about the ICF credentialing, and also because it really is geared towards people who are coming from the counseling, social work, psychology profession, who have a lot of training that is comparable to coach training, and so they are able to basically get some credit for their
mm-hmm.
Previous work. So they come in with a slightly less number of required hours to hold a credential.
That's ICF.
No, that's the Center for Credentialing Education. That's the BCC credential, Board Certified Coach credential. The
okay.
ICF does not have a graduate school, does not have any educational component as a requirement
okay.
for becoming credentialed.
Okay. So the BCC or that's with NCC.
Yes.
Okay.
Because
I think that's very important for me. Because I don't want to get involved in the process and down the road and find that, hey, I either have too many courses and I don't have the right certifying body. And that's very important. And the thing with me is that I'm basically looking to enhance what I do as a counselor.
Right.
And like you all have said, coaching is one, I think, is a great way to do it. I'm not looking necessarily to be called a coach, but I am interested in utilizing some of the principles and the process that coaching can, you know, get you in and out.
Yes, and if you're an NCC, then that 30-hour program is probably, no, is definitely the way to go. Not
mm-hmm.
only is it under the same organization where you got your NCC,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, just in terms of protecting your license,
mm-hmm.
it makes sense to be doing it through a organization that oversees the counselors.
Right.
Without having to take an extra 6 months of classes, as you said.
And the other thing is that, you know, working through NCC, there are, you know, this is all about money and time and investment. And I wonder, is it, you know, does the coaching process, can you get credit for the NCC continuing education?
All of the classes that you take with us will apply to your NCC or your counseling license in most states because you get CEUs from the National Board of Certified Counselors. So, yes.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes it even more attractive for me.
Yeah, good. Yeah, no, it is good. You know, and the other thing, and I don't know about Georgia's licensing laws. I know in Ohio, one of the reasons that we have, and we've probably graduated about 450 BCCs already,
mm-hmm.
Is there are many states, if you are holding a helping professional license, that require if you're adding a new modality to your practice, say
uh-huh.
coaching, you need to have training in it before you offer it. So it's part of the way of protecting your clients. I know that the state of Arkansas, who has a law that says, you know, if you're going to have play therapy or coaching, you have to have a credential, has just adopted the BCC.
Okay.
As the one to get for coaches in Arkansas or counselors who are coaching in Arkansas.
Okay. Yeah. Well, this is good stuff.
Well, and as I said, I would love, you know, any of you who have questions that want to talk about it privately, you can reach out to me. My email is Ellen, E-L-L-E-N, at lifecoachtraining.com. My phone number is 888-267-1206, extension 101. And I love, the joy of my life is working with our students. We have some of the most incredible people who come through this program who are committed to coaching and are changing the world. So anytime you've got questions, please feel free to reach out to me.
Can you say your email one more time, Ellen?
Yes, it's Ellen, E-L-L-E-N, at lifecoachtraining.com. And when Amy Jones is going to be sending out the recording for this and the materials that both Nancy and I have mentioned, we will make sure to have our contact information right there so you can click on it.
Fantastic. This has been really, really helpful. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you all for coming.
Thank you
very much.
Yes, thank you. And really, let us know if you've got questions. Thanks so much for coming.
Thanks.